Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack source material that, well, really matters, giving you insights to navigate life a bit more effectively. Today, we're tackling something pretty foundational, critical thinking.
Yeah, a big one.
We'll explore how mastering it can really boost both your personal and professional growth.
Right.
So if you're looking to get smart, fast, have those aha moments without feeling totally buried under info, you're definitely in the right place.
Absolutely. And our guide for this particular deep dive is a YouTube video. It's called Critical Thinking Mastery. Transform Your Mindset for Ultimate Personal Growth audiobook from the Grow to the Top channel.
Okay.
We've basically gone through it, sifted it to bring you the core stuff, what critical thinking really is, and crucially, how you can actively, you know, build this ability.
Think of it as the cheat sheet for upgrading your mind.
Exactly. A mental toolkit. Sort of.
Now, here's something important right at the start. Critical thinking.
Yeah.
It isn't about just being argumentative, is it?
No, not at all. That's a common misconception.
Or, like, constantly finding fault with everything everyone says.
Right. It's actually much more disciplined. It's a systematic way to engage with information.
Okay.
To really dig into it, evaluate its strengths, its weaknesses, and then arrive at your own well-supported conclusions. Fair-mindedly.
Right. Objectively. And the really empowering thing here, according to the video anyway, is that it's not some, you know, fixed trait.
Exactly. You're not just born with it or without it.
It's a skill.
Precisely. The video really hammers this home. Like any skill, you got to learn it, practice it.
But the payoff, clarity, better decisions, it's significant.
Definitely worth the effort.
Okay, so with that foundation laid, let's jump into chapter one from the video. This introduces the core concept.
Right. It kicks off by asking, you know, why do some people seem to handle life's complexities so smoothly?
Yeah, almost effortlessly sometimes.
And the answer, according to the source, is critical thinking. It's framed as this game-changing ability, unlocking potential across the board.
And the definition they offer? It's about being active, not passive, right?
Exactly. It's not just soaking up information. Mm. It's actively dissecting it, judging its value, its reliability, and then putting those pieces together to form your own reasoned views and decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping back, looking from different angles, weighing things up.
And the impact goes way beyond just like intellectual exercise. It touches personal life too.
Oh, absolutely. The video really highlights how it helps build stronger connections, better communication, more empathy.
Okay.
Helps you resolve conflicts better, make decisions that actually line up with your values.
That makes sense. And professionally.
Huge. The video stresses it's super sought after by employers now.
I believe it.
In pretty much any industry, really. People who can think critically, they're the ones who often lead, innovate, they stand out.
So it's not just a nice to have.
No, it's fundamental for success,
right,
especially when things are changing fast.
Okay, this is where I found it really interesting. The video suggests developing the skill isn't just about thinking better. It actually changes how you approach life.
Yeah, it's transformative.
Yeah.
You start questioning assumptions you didn't even know you had.
Right. Challenging your own biases.
Mm-hmm. And tackling problems with more creativity, more open-mindedness.
So the video then gives a sort of roadmap. Yeah. What's coming up?
It does. It previews things like logical reasoning principles, cognitive biases, those sneaky subconscious influences.
Uh-huh.
Problem-solving methods, decision-making strategies, clear communication, even understanding your own thought patterns.
Wow, okay. It's a pretty comprehensive toolkit they're aiming for.
It really is.
And chapter one wraps up with a question for, well, for you listening. Are you actually ready to challenge your assumptions and expand your perspective?
Nice setup for chapter two.
Exactly, which dives right into understanding your own thought patterns.
And chapter two starts with this cool analogy. Your mind as this, like, vast, unexplored territory.
Okay, I like that.
Full of treasures, potential insights, creative sparks, but also pitfalls, biases, misjudgments.
And the first step to navigating that territory.
Self-awareness. That's the cornerstone, according to the video.
So observing your own thoughts, emotions, behaviors, kind of impartially.
Exactly. Like an outside observer almost.
What does that actually let you do, though?
Well, it helps you spot those recurring thinking patterns, identify your strengths and weaknesses as a thinker.
Right.
And really understand how your past experiences, your beliefs, how they actually shape what you see and how you interpret things.
So understanding yourself is step one to understanding your thinking.
Precisely. Can't critique the world until you understand the lens you're looking through.
Makes sense. And the video offers tools for this.
Yeah, a couple of concrete methods. Mindfulness is one.
Okay.
Just paying attention non-judgmentally to your thoughts and feelings in the present moment, even a few minutes a day, helps you notice those recurring themes, those emotional triggers.
The other tool?
Reflective journaling. Basically writing stuff down.
Ah, okay, like a diary of your thoughts.
Sort of. Creating a record of your inner world thoughts, experiences, reactions. Over time, it reveals patterns.
How you make decisions, maybe. Or emotional responses.
Exactly. Or underlying beliefs, like maybe you tend to jump to conclusions or always expect the worst, catastrophizing.
Right. And as you get more aware, you start noticing biases.
That's when they often pop up, yeah. Cognitive biases. The video calls them systematic errors in thinking.
Errors, but not like character flaws.
No, absolutely not. The video's clear on that. They're often just mental shortcuts our brains use to handle all the information coming in.
Yeah.
They operate below conscious awareness a lot of the time.
Okay, so recognizing them is the first step to dealing with them.
Crucial first step.
Does it give examples?
A couple of really common ones, confirmation bias.
Yeah.
You know, seeking out info that confirms what you already believe.
And ignoring stuff that doesn't fit. Yeah, we all do that.
Mm-hmm. And the availability heuristic. Overestimating the likelihood of things that are easy to remember, maybe because they were dramatic or recent.
Like thinking plane crashes are more common than car crashes because they get more news coverage.
Exactly that kind of thing.
So knowing about these biases isn't enough, is it?
Definitely not. You need to actively spot them in your own thinking. And the video suggests getting feedback.
From trusted people. Ooh, that could be tricky.
It requires vulnerability, for sure. Being open to hearing things that might challenge you.
But friends, colleagues, mentors, they might see blind spots you miss.
Precisely. Their perspective can be incredibly valuable, even if it's initially uncomfortable.
And the video acknowledges that discomfort.
It does. It actually reframes it. That discomfort, that defensiveness maybe, it's often a sign of growth.
Ah, okay. A sign you're developing mental flexibility.
Exactly. Which is essential for critical thinking.
So this whole self-awareness piece, it's the foundation.
Indispensable foundation, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you get a clearer picture of how your own mind works, you're way better equipped to build those more advanced skills.
Which leads us nicely into chapter 3, the fundamentals.
Right. And the analogy here is the mind as a wilderness and critical thinking as the map.
But you need tools to use the map.
Exactly. And the fundamental tools highlighted are logical reasoning and evidence-based thinking.
Okay, logical reasoning. What's the core idea there?
The video presents it as the heart of critical thinking, drawing conclusions that are actually supported by evidence and sound arguments.
Identifying the starting points, premises, and seeing if the conclusion logically follows.
Precisely. We do it all the time, often unconsciously.
Mm.
Logic provides the framework.
And it gives that classic example.
Yeah, the syllogism. All cats are mammals. Fluffy is a cat.
Therefore, Fluffy is a mammal. Simple, but shows the structure.
Exactly. If the premises are true, the conclusion has to be true.
But then it talks about when reasoning goes wrong. Logical fallacies.
Mm-hmm. Flaws in the reasoning structure.
Mm-hmm.
Errors that lead to invalid conclusions, even if it sounds plausible at first.
Like the ad hominem attack. Attacking the person, not the argument.
That's a common one. Or the false dichotomy only presenting two options when there are actually others.
Right. You're either with us or against us.
That kind of thing. And the slippery slope assuming one thing inevitably leads to a chain reaction without good evidence.
Okay, so spotting these is key. Not just in others' arguments, but in our own thinking too.
Absolutely. Especially when dealing with persuasive messages, ads, politics, whatever. Avoid using them yourself.
Got it. And the second tool was evidence-based thinking.
Right. Basing conclusions on verifiable facts and reliable data.
Not just opinions or feelings or that one story your uncle told.
Exactly. Not anecdotes. It means actively seeking high-quality sources, checking credibility, and being willing to change your mind if strong evidence comes along.
Evidence should be the bedrock.
That's the core insight, yeah.
What kind of mindset helps with that? What attitudes?
The video points to a few key ones. Curiosity, genuinely wanting to know, asking questions.
Hmm.
Open-mindedness, being willing to seriously consider ideas that challenge your own beliefs.
It can be hard.
It can. And intellectual humility, recognizing your knowledge is incomplete. Always more to learn.
So curiosity, open-mindedness, intellectual humility. These add up to a critical thinking mindset.
Pretty much. Willingness to question assumptions, including your own.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy skepticism towards claims without evidence. Commitment to learning.
But it's not easy.
The video is realistic. It takes effort. You have to step out of your comfort zone, confront those biases we talked about.
Right. Maybe admit you were wrong sometimes.
Yeah. But the payoff is huge. Navigating complexity, making better decisions, engaging productively with different views.
So understanding logic and evidence is step one. But the big hurdle is often those biases.
Exactly. Which brings us right to chapter four, overcoming cognitive biases.
Okay. And the analogy here is invisible chess pieces.
Yeah, subtly influencing your mental game without you realizing it. It revisits the definition systematic patterns of deviation from rational judgment.
And reminds us they're natural, not a sign of being unintelligent.
Right. They're brain shortcuts, heuristics. Useful sometimes, but they can mess up critical thinking in complex situations. Natural, but they can lead us astray.
So it dives back into specific biases with examples.
Mm-hmm. Confirmation bias, again, the diet example, only sharing articles that support your view, ignoring studies that don't.
We see that online all the time.
Totally. Then the anchoring effect, getting stuck on the first piece of info, like a car's initial asking price dominating the negotiation.
Even if it's way too high.
Exactly. And availability heuristic. Again, fearing plane crashes more than car accidents due to vivid media coverage, despite the stats.
Okay, so awareness isn't enough. We need strategy.
That's the key message. Mm. Actively counteract them. One strategy. Mm. Deliberately seek out information that challenges your beliefs.
Ooh, okay. Not to necessarily change your mind, but to give other views fair consideration.
Precisely. Follow different news sources. Yeah. Engage respectfully with people who disagree. Broaden your input.
What else?
Practice mental flexibility. When you jump to a conclusion, pause. Ask yourself, what else could be going on here? What other explanations am I missing?
Just opening up possibilities.
Exactly. And actively seek diverse perspectives. Talk to people with different backgrounds, different expertise. They see things you don't.
Helps uncover blind spots.
For sure. And again, that intellectual humility makes it easier to say, huh, maybe I was wrong, when new evidence comes up.
And the discomfort of challenging these biases, it's a good sign.
It's a sign of mental growth, yeah. You're stretching your thinking muscles.
So spotting biases, thinking flexibly, these are essential tools for actually using critical thinking.
Absolutely. They're crucial for applying these skills to real-world problem solving.
Which takes us right into chapter five, effective problem solving techniques.
And the image here is a tangled knot, complex problems that seem impossible at first.
But they can be untangled.
With the right techniques, yes. And the first step, clearly define the problem.
Break it down.
Exactly. Problem decomposition. Often, a big problem is really a bunch of smaller, linked issues. Isolate the strands of the knot.
Makes it less overwhelming.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Then, crucial step, gather information. Don't rush this.
Seek different viewpoints, consult experts, look for patterns.
All of that. Get a solid understanding of the situation from multiple angles.
Then you move to solutions.
Right. Generating potential solutions. This is where brainstorming comes in.
Suspend judgment, let ideas flow, even wild ones.
Especially wild ones sometimes. The video stresses encouraging a free flow initially. Innovation often comes from unexpected places.
Okay, you've got a list of ideas, then what?
Then you switch back to critical evaluation. Weigh the pros and cons of each option.
Feasibility, potential outcomes, unintended consequences, align with goals.
All that. Strive for objectivity. Put aside biases.
And once you pick a solution,
develop an action plan. Break it down into steps. Assign responsibilities if needed. Set timelines.
But it doesn't stop there.
No. Problem solving is dynamic. Monitor the results. Be ready to adjust if things aren't working or challenges pop up.
The video also mentioned reframing.
Yeah, a powerful technique. Sometimes how you define the problem limits the solutions you see.
So look at it from a different angle.
Exactly. Might reveal totally new approaches you hadn't considered.
What if you just feel stuck?
The video acknowledges that happens. Suggests taking a step back. Give your mind some space, then return with fresh eyes.
Okay, so this chapter gives a real toolkit. Define, gather info, brainstorm, evaluate, implement, monitor.
A structured approach. Which leads logically to the next skill. Analyzing information and arguments carefully.
Right, chapter six.
Yeah.
And the analogy is being a detective.
Yeah, an intellectual detective at a crime scene. You've got claims, evidence, conclusions all tangled up.
Your job is to untangle it. Separate fact from fiction. Find the flaws.
Exactly. The essence of analyzing arguments. Indispensable skill.
And it starts with breaking down the argument into claims, premises, conclusions.
That's the basic structure. Claims are the assertions. Premises are the reasons or evidence supporting them. Conclusion is the point they're trying to prove.
Like the dog example again. All dogs are mammals. Premise. Fido is a dog. Premise.
Therefore, Fido is a mammal. Conclusion. Dissecting arguments like this helps you see the structure and find weak spots.
And then you scrutinize the evidence, the premises.
Crucial step. Ask. Is it relevant? Is it reliable? Is the source credible? Is there enough evidence?
And beware of anecdotes or cherry-picked data.
Big warning sign there, yeah. Need solid backing.
Then you look at the reasoning itself. Valid patterns versus fallacies.
Right. Some patterns are sound, like that syllogism. Others are flawed.
Like the slippery slope again. If we allow X, then Y and Z will inevitably happen.
Without evidence for that chain reaction yet. Or confusing correlation with causation.
The ice cream sales and drowning example. Just because they happen together doesn't mean one causes the other.
Exactly. There's likely a third factor, like hot weather.
The video also mentions hidden assumptions.
Super important. Premises that aren't stated, but the argument relies on them.
Like, tax cuts stimulate growth assumes lower taxes always lead to growth, which needs its own evidence.
Precisely. You have to surface those hidden assumptions.
And the advice is to practice this everywhere. Ads, speeches, articles.
Yeah, actively analyze arguments you encounter daily. Break them down. You'll find many don't hold up well under scrutiny.
And the goal isn't just to win debates.
No, it's deeper understanding, making informed decisions yourself. Sharpening these skills helps you navigate the information flood.
Okay, so we can analyze individual arguments, but critical thinking also involves engaging with different views.
Absolutely. That's chapter 7, engaging with diverse perspectives.
The analogy here is a room with different colored walls.
Right. As you move, your perspective changes, you see new shades. Engaging with different viewpoints does the same for understanding.
And the value is huge. Challenges assumptions, broadens understanding.
Leads to more nuanced, robust solutions.
Yeah.
Like adding more colors to your palette, richer picture of the world.
But it can be uncomfortable.
Often is, yeah. Stepping outside your beliefs, confronting challenging ideas. But that friction, that's where growth happens.
So how do you actively do this?
One way. Deliberately expose yourself to sources that challenge you. If you lean one way politically, read the other side. If you're in science, read humanities.
Not necessarily to change your mind, but to understand.
Exactly. Understand the different viewpoints and the reasoning behind them.
And active listening is key.
Crucial. Not just waiting to talk, but really hearing them. Understanding their frame of reference, their experiences, their values.
Which links to empathy, trying to see through their eyes.
Yeah. Recognizing most people believe they're doing what's right based on their understanding, even if you disagree.
The video mentions steel manning. What's that?
It's the opposite of straw manning, where you misrepresent an argument to easily knock it down.
Okay.
Steel manning is trying to state the strongest possible version of the opposing argument.
Wow. That forces you to really understand it.
Deeply. And it strengthens your own thinking by making you grapple with the best counterarguments.
So engaging with diverse views makes decision-making harder but better.
More challenging, definitely, but ultimately more rewarding. You have more options, a better grasp of consequences.
And playing devil's advocate can help integrate these views.
Yeah, argue against your own preferred option, or have someone else do it. Uncovers flaws, leads to more robust decisions.
But it's not about abandoning your own values.
No, the video clarifies that. It's about enriching your understanding, challenging assumptions constructively, arriving at more thoughtful positions, not necessarily finding a weak consensus.
Okay, so we understand perspectives. How do we make actual decisions? Chapter 8.
Exactly. Decision-making strategies for success. And the image is standing at a crossroads, paths shrouded in uncertainty.
That feels familiar.
Right. Decision-making is choosing a path when you don't have perfect information, outcomes aren't guaranteed.
And it's a process, not just a single moment.
Definitely. Starts with defining the decision clearly, gathering relevant info.
Seems basic, but often skipped. Framing the problem right, getting enough data.
Crucial first step. Poor decisions often start here. Don't jump the gun.
Okay, got the info. Then identify and evaluate options.
Right. Apply those critical thinking skills.
Mm-hmm.
Consider short-term, long-term outcomes. Risks, benefits, alignment with goals, values.
And think outside the box. Creative alternatives.
Yeah, don't just stick to the obvious choices.
The video mentioned a decision matrix.
Useful tool. List options versus important criteria. Score each one. Helps compare complex choices objectively.
What about logic versus intuition? Gut feeling.
Need a balance.
Yep.
Analyze the data, absolutely. But don't totally ignore intuition. It's often subconscious pattern recognition from experience. Find the equilibrium.
And managing uncertainty, like with scenario planning.
Yeah, imagine different possible futures. How might your decision play out in each scenario? Help spot risks and opportunities you might miss otherwise.
What are common traps? The video mentioned pitfalls.
Analysis paralysis is a big one. Getting so stuck gathering info you never actually decide.
Right. Sometimes a good enough decision now is better than a perfect one too late.
Exactly. And groupthink desire for harmony leads to bad decisions. Encourage dissent. Assign a devil's advocate to combat that.
What if you just feel stuck, indecisive?
Techniques like the five whys, keep asking why to find root causes, or the Eisenhower matrix, prioritizing by importance and urgency. Sometimes just reframing the problem helps.
So the goal isn't eliminating uncertainty, because that's often impossible.
Right. It's about making informed, well-reasoned choices aligned with your goals and values while being comfortable with some ambiguity and ready to adapt.
Which sounds like it requires resilience. Chapter 9.
Exactly. Building mental resilience. Final chapter.
Okay.
And the image is powerful. A mighty oak tree in a storm.
Standing strong despite the wind and rain.
Yeah. Roots deep, trunk firm. That's mental resilience. Adapting well to adversity, bouncing back from setbacks, learning from failure, even thriving under pressure.
And it's more than just being tough.
Much more. It's a dynamic process. Adapting to trauma, loss, stress. Not just recovering, but learning and growing stronger.
And the foundation is emotional intelligence.
That's what the video highlights. Understanding and managing your own emotions. Not suppressing them, but recognizing, understanding, regulating them constructively.
So you respond thoughtfully. Not just react emotionally.
Precisely. With clarity and purpose.
And mindfulness meditation helps build that.
Powerful technique for it. Focusing on the present, accepting thoughts and feelings without judgment, builds self-awareness, reduces stress, improves emotional regulation.
What about mindset? The video mentioned growth mindset.
Yeah, from Carol Dweck. Believing your abilities aren't fixed, but can be developed through effort, learning, persistence.
So challenges become opportunities. Failure is learning.
That's the core idea. People with a growth mindset see setbacks differently. Not as proof they can't do it, but as feedback guiding future effort.
Wow, okay. We've covered a lot of ground.
We really have. From defining critical thinking, understanding thought patterns, the fundamentals of logic and evidence.
Overcoming biases, solving problems, analyzing arguments.
Engaging with diverse views, making decisions, building resilience. It's a full journey.
Yeah. And hopefully you listening, you're feeling better equipped now. Ready to approach information challenges with a more critical, thoughtful, effective mindset.
Definitely. So maybe a final thought for you to take away this week. How will you consciously apply some of these skills?
Yeah, maybe in your personal life, maybe professionally. What's one assumption you could challenge this week? Just pick one.
Good starting point.
We really encourage you to keep exploring these ideas, reflect on your own thinking. Thanks so much for taking this deep dive with us.